Today is May 28th, 2009, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 150, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Cheffin, stable boy. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr.com. And in the meanwhile, you can check me out on Twitter. I am at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y.
And I am at twitter.com/JGamet. And that's J-G-A-M-E-T.
Yes, you are. So how was your week?
It's been fun so far, and how about yours?
Lovely.
Excellent.
Going into the studio tomorrow.
That's right, and that's totally worth bragging about. I'm actually very excited to see what comes out of your studio session. And for people that don't know what that means, Brian is part of a really cool band called the Atomic Love Bombs.
Aw, thank you.
And I've seen you live.
You have. You're a good friend.
And it was a great show, so it was totally worth going to.
Thanks. And we're going to the studio. We're going to record 8 songs, and when we're done, we should have a 10-song CD because we've already got 2 songs that are almost finished. But it's going to be a busy weekend, and as a matter of fact, Brad Cook is going to be covering for me probably when this goes live, because I will probably be finishing this and posting it tomorrow in the afternoon before I leave.
Cool. And, you know, it's always great when Brad's around to fill in, because he's really good, which is not to say that you're not. It's just, it's fun when Brad's around.
Oh, absolutely. Brad's a good guy.
He is.
Good asset. A good asset. So, yeah, I believe that you got scared earlier today.
So I did. All right. So, you know, when the weather turns nice and you can start opening your office window again? Right. Well, in Colorado, that means that in the afternoons, there's going to be breezes that come up.
Sure.
And I had my headphones on, so I didn't realize the breeze had come up, and it blew my door to my office closed, and it slammed really loud. And I pretty much had to go change my pants after that one.
That's very funny. I like that. All right. Well, that's kind of a boring interlude there, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Yeah, so let's do the news, huh?
All right. SciStar ran out of coal to shovel into Apple's Lawsuit Express, and it filed bankruptcy. North Carolina is hoping to score an Apple server farm. The EU wants one big iTunes store, and AT&T is doubling its 3G network speed. Steve Jobs is looking better, really. Apple is still rolling out new stores, and Microsoft thinks it has a Zune that can take on the iPod Touch, really.
SciStar, the company that's known for getting smacked around in court by Apple for making Mac clones without authorization, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in Florida, temporarily slowing down Apple's legal case against it. The filing may be an indication that the company's financial backers have pulled out, although we really don't know. But one way or another, it seems like they're signaling they think that Apple's going to win. Because if you're going to win, you don't file bankruptcy. Just saying. The Florida court will hold a hearing on June 5th, which should be interesting because SciStar's equity creditors will finally be revealed, at least in theory. Meaning, if there are any deep pockets behind the company's fight against Apple, those names will come out of the shadows. Even if SciStar has plans for continuing its battle against Apple to sell PCs with macOS 10 installed, it isn't in a strong position to move forward once the judge overseeing its bankruptcy lifts the automatic stay, since it likely it isn't going to have enough money to pay for its legal defense. And without money, the company's attorneys aren't likely to continue working on the case. Just saying.
I know, big surprise there. North Carolina's House of Representatives approved a bill designed to give Apple special tax incentives if they build a $1 billion, that's U.S. dollars, server farm in the state. The bill still has to pass a Senate vote. That's a lot of money. But it shouldn't have any trouble passing that Senate vote because they previously passed an earlier version of the bill. Locating the server farm in North Carolina would create about 50 new jobs initially, with the potential for an additional 250 contractor jobs in one of the state's poorest regions. The tax incentives would require Apple to commit to investing $1 billion in the state over a 9-year period, and the company's state tax savings would hit about $3 million a year and potentially ramp up to $12.5 million a year. Tax savings could reach all the way up to $300 million over the next 30 years, too.
That's according to the legislation.
Right. Okay.
The European Union's redundantly named European Commission is pushing to be like... anyway, it's just silly. Is pushing for what sounds like a near impossible goal to get record labels and royalty collection groups to work together so online music download services like the iTunes Store and others can sell songs in all 27 EU nations at one time. If they manage to pull off this monumental feat, Apple is willing to launch an EU-wide iTunes Store. One obstacle that the EU will have to face is convincing the various royalty collection groups to work together. France's Collection Society has stated that it is willing to cooperate, at least in principle, but other EU royalty collection groups have yet to weigh in. If the European Commission can convince all of the players to come together, EU music fans would likely have more than just Apple's iTunes Store to choose from, since other media download services could and should take advantage of multi-country licensing too.
And AT&T announced on Wednesday that it was doubling the speed of its 3G network with the implementation of high-speed packet access, or HSPA, 7.2 technology. The company also plans to double the amount of spectrum it has dedicated to use by its 3G network, quote-unquote, in most metropolitan areas. Though we didn't get any specifics on what those areas might be. Now, there is a catch, kind of. Only devices built for this HSPA 7.2 technology can take advantage of the technology. So the millions of iPhone 3Gs already on the market will continue to use the HSPA 3.6 platform AT&T built for them, just as the original iPhone models must use the older Edge network. This does, of course, suggest that Apple will include support for HSPA 7.2 in the next iteration of the device. Think iPhone 3.5G. And AT&T itself said devices that use the faster standard would come later this year. AT&T also said it was working to improve in-building coverage within its 3G network and that it was adding some 2,000 new cell locations throughout the United States.
Steve Jobs is healthy, or at least he sounds healthy, according to his Apple co-founder, Steve the Woz Wozniak. I wonder where he got that name.
I don't know.
I wonder if he means old Ben Kenobi. Well, you know, why didn't Uncle Owen or someone just shout, "You think?" Why?
Probably because he really wanted Luke to go into Mos Eisley for those power converters.
Must be. All right, folks, we're back on track. Mr. Woz described his erstwhile partner as sounding, quote-unquote, healthy and energetic after a phone call between the two. While over-the-phone diagnosis is no substitute for intrusive access to someone's health records, Mr. Jobs also happened to make an appearance at Apple itself to attend a board meeting on Wednesday. That's an Apple board meeting. Sources who saw him also described him as seeming, quote-unquote, healthier. Now, of course, begins the rounds of speculation on whether or not we'll see Mr. Jobs at next month's WWDC, though he's not scheduled to return to Apple in his role as CEO until sometime in July.
While other retailers are cutting back because of economic concerns, Apple has 25 more stores in the works, including locations in New York, Paris, Italy, and Germany. The company is also planning remodels for some of its older stores and will be changing up its one-to-one program in June. Apple has remodels planned for 100 of its retail locations to make room for twice as many Macs and to increase the size of the Genius Bar areas. The changes are designed to help highlight in-store customer service programs and better show off the company's computer offerings. Come June 2nd, Apple's one-to-one customer training program will be getting a facelift too. The training sessions will be extended to 3 hours and will include up to 3 customers, making them seem more like 1 to maybe 3 instead of 1-to-1 sessions. And they will be limited to customers that purchase their Mac at an Apple retail store or on the company's website. Current users will still be able to renew their annual subscriptions.
1 week ahead of Apple's scheduled hijacking of all global media coverage, Microsoft announced the newest member of the Zune family, the Zune HD. Of course, the Zune HD won't be released until several months from now, but it's likely that Big Redmond felt it should talk about it now, as everyone will still probably be talking about what it is that Apple announces in June by the time the Zune HD gets released in the fall in the first place. Just saying. Accordingly, Jeff and I felt that we should fill you in now in case we forget when it happens. The Zune HD will be a multi-touch screen device with a 3.3-inch OLED screen with a resolution of 420 by 272. It will also sport an HD radio receiver, a built-in browser, Mobile Internet Explorer, as well as a... forget it. Who cares?
I really am easily entertained.
Apparently. Okay, that sound means that it's time for the Context Machine. That is where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. And, you know, we didn't set up our topics ahead of time, but I think that we probably can have some easy consensus here. Why don't we start with SciStar?
I think that's a really good place to start. And I'll start by saying, while to some people it might come as a surprise that SciStar filed for bankruptcy when it did, it should not be a surprise that they filed bankruptcy.
Well, I'm really surprised they've been able to continue for so long. I mean, so, like, you know, there's been a lot of talk about SciStar having deep pockets behind it. But there hasn't been any proof of that, you know, to justify that talk. The proof is very circumstantial. It's the fact that they've been able to continue to fight Apple's legal machine, which is quite capable of, you know, generating enough court activity to cost any kind of defendant, you know, just millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, SciStar just isn't selling that many of these or any computers.
Right.
You know, especially considering the fact that their business is a low volume, you know, close to no profit business in the first place. So, you know, that's why people talk about there being deep pockets behind it. But I don't know, man. I think that this bankruptcy, you know, it may be a concession of defeat, but it may also just be that the people who, whatever they're trying to do, if there are people behind this, they may be just be trying to close up shop here and they're going to, you know, reopen it elsewhere or focus on the two companies, the one in South America and one in Germany, that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, that could be. Now, if it turns out, though, that there are deep pockets and they bailed on SciStar, mm-hmm. then bankruptcy would be the next step because there's simply no money left to cover the legal expenses. And it could also be a calculated move on the part of those backers to distance themselves from SciStar so it doesn't look like they were colluding with SciStar in this whole OS licensing mess that's going on right now.
Right. And you know, there could also be the issue that what they're finding is that the people that really want this kind of device just aren't really as populous as they had hoped. Numerous as they'd hoped.
Right. And if SciStar is a test bed, so to speak, mm-hmm. and it's not producing the numbers that they were hope that whoever these mythical people are were hoping to see, mm-hmm. then it could simply be that they've decided, okay, yeah, that market is not there, just like you were saying. And if so, cut your losses and move on.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's very, very, very interesting. I mean, filing, I don't know. And the whole thing could also just be a delaying tactic. I mean, it could be so many different things, and we just don't know yet.
That's true. Now, with the bankruptcy filing, happening, that creates what's called an automatic stay.
Right.
And that automatic stay means that any other legal proceedings involving SciStar are temporarily put on hold, and that the judge that's overseeing the bankruptcy has like master control over everything else.
Right.
So everything goes on hold, including Apple's case, and it will probably stay that way for the next few months while the judge sorts out who's owed what and just where all the money's coming and going from for SciStar. Once the judge gets that sorted out, then he can start releasing the stays, and then he could allow Apple's case against SciStar to pick back up again. So that gives a multi-month window where SciStar can do all kinds of other things.
Mm-hmm. Including continuing to sell these computers.
Right. So they can continue selling computers. If they were so inclined to do things that would fall, let's say, on the shady side of the law, this would give them a window of time to make those things happen as well. Mm-hmm. And now, I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but you know, if you're looking at all the potential things that could happen, that's something that kind of falls into the mix too.
All right. So now let's get to a practical aspect of this. And that's the fact that, you know, we talk about these deep pockets. And I mean, you know, there's been a lot of conspiracy theories tossed around. You know, basically PC manufacturers wanting to break Apple's control over its hardware, you know, realizing that Apple's business model is superior, and since they can't beat them, wanting them to bring them down. It is on and on and on, all kinds of conspiracy theory talk. But conspiracy theories, first of all, I don't often buy into them simply because they require too many people to agree to keep a secret and then actually do so. But the reality is that this company is just sort of, you know, fumbled and bumbled and you know, jacked around so much. It's kind of hard to think that you know, deep money is behind those that fumbling and that bumbling.
You know, conspiracy theories for me are hard to get behind because they have to be very complex to work, and they're great for movies, and they made the X-Files an incredible show, in my opinion. But in the real world, conspiracy theories just typically don't hold water. Mm-hmm. It comes down to the easiest answer is oftentimes the right answer. And
right. And the easiest answer here is that these guys are Goombas and they don't know what they're doing. And they found some dumbass attorney who said, oh yeah, I can beat Apple because of this or that. And he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground.
Yeah, there you go.
And now all of a sudden they're out of money.
Yeah. How about that? And now, we'll know for sure – well, we will likely know come June 5th if there are other right. companies that have been funding SciStar.
Right.
And if so, that doesn't necessarily prove that there was a conspiracy theory.
Right.
So, yeah, keep that in mind as we're writing our articles mm-hmm. and as everyone else is writing their articles about what comes out of this. There's still no guarantee that there's a conspiracy theory.
Right. All right, moving on. What do you think Apple's going to do with this server farm?
That's a really good question. My theory is that the server farm is going to relate most likely to MobileMe services and to push notifications for iPhone and iPod Touch applications.
Yes, I would agree with both of those. And maybe some other tangentially related MobileMe/cloud computing initiatives that we don't know anything about yet.
Sure. And if the rumors that Apple's going to start offering TV and TV show downloads mm-hmm. for the iPod Touch and the iPhone.
Well, yeah, okay, but most of that stuff tends to get outsourced to companies like Akamai and its competitors.
Okay, yeah, that's true. All right, so that means the likelihood that Apple would be using the server farm to stream out that content is not very high.
Yeah,
so go back to my original statement.
I think that when it comes to things like streaming, it is much more efficient for Apple and everybody else to jointly use resources by companies like Akamai. It's much more efficient that way.
Right. And Akamai, since that's all they do, they can focus their resources on on creating the most efficient systems for getting first the content in so that they can dole it out, and then second, so that they can stream that back out to end users in the most efficient way.
But Apple, it's in our best interest and Apple's best interest to utterly control MobileMe and things like the push notification. I don't think they want that in other people's hands.
No, they've made it pretty clear that they don't want that in other people's hands.
Right.
And considering that MobileMe now is really an internet-based service that's cross-platform, this isn't being marketed just to Mac users. This is being marketed to Windows users too.
Right.
That means you need to have a substantially larger infrastructure to support those services than if you were offering them simply to Mac users.
Right. Right. So, but it's very exciting that they're doing this. It's very exciting they're going to have that kind of facility. It's a sign of how far Apple has come in just the last few years.
Yeah, it is. And I'm very excited to see what comes out of their massive server facilities, regardless of where they end up. Although I'm thinking it would be kind of cool if this did end up in North Carolina, simply because the area that it would go into is an area that really needs a kick in the pants financially.
Sure, and some nice high-tech, solid, well-paying jobs would be good for lifting any area up right now.
Right, right. I'm assuming that whatever Apple needs facility-wise isn't there.
Right, and they'll have to build that too.
Right. So there's all the support services that go along with creating this facility that will draw even more jobs into that area. So that'd be a good thing all the way around.
You know, Jeff, this is another example of Apple being able to take its enormous money supplies. You know, they've got more than $29 billion in the bank right now. And leverage that during hard times to put themselves to in a more advantageous position. Because, you know, right now is a great time for Apple to strike a deal with any state to get, $100, $300 million worth of tax breaks. Because, you know, everybody's freaked out about employment and all the related issues going on with the economic crisis. And so Apple has this large quantity of money and, you know, they can build a facility like this, just like they can upgrade all those stores. And they can do it so that when the economy comes out of its recession, they'll be, you know, in a position to kick some more butt.
Yeah, they will. And it's great that Apple's in a position where they do have that surplus, so that they can go on the offensive, in essence.
Absolutely.
Especially because there's a lot of other companies out there, a lot of companies that compete with Apple, that are not in that position right now. And they're having to play their hand far more conservatively. And so they're not investing the way that Apple is, which means that when the economy for them turns around, they're going to be way behind.
Right. Well, and you know, like Apple has reduced, other companies are laying off people. You know, Microsoft has laid off thousands and thousands of people. Apple has also reduced its headcount, but the vast majority of that headcount reduction has been at the retail stores where they simply don't need as many people working right now.
Right.
Which is a lot different from cutting engineers and people who are developing products and such like that.
Yeah, actually, that's a really important distinction because there's a lot of people that are looking at Apple's retail layoffs and comparing that to the higher, I shouldn't say higher up, but the engineering level layoffs that other companies are doing.
Right.
And yeah, and so you have a lot of people that are thinking that Apple has lost its luster because it's having to make layoffs just like every other company, when in fact the layoffs at Apple has been making do not relate directly to their ability to develop, maintain, and support their products.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I don't really have a clever segue, but it seems like a really good time to talk about our friends at Smile on My Mac.
Actually, I think I have a great segue. So let's see how this works.
Okay.
And speaking of companies that are maintaining their staff so that they can develop and maintain and support new products. How is that?
Oh, that's good. That's good. You must mean, of course, our friends at Smile on My Mac.
That's exactly who I mean.
So they released a new product this week, right? Or an updated product?
Actually, it's an update or upgrade to Disk Label. So Disk Label 6 is out now. And it turns out it's actually a very cool upgrade. And for people that aren't familiar with Disk Label, it's a very cool application that makes it very easy for non-designers or designers to create CD labels and sleeves that look very professional. They have a ton of pre-made templates that you can work with. You can add your own graphics from iPhoto or other places. What they've done now, though, is they've added 80 more professionally designed templates for you to work with.
That's very nice, yeah.
Yeah, so there are a lot of designs for you to play with.
You know, for people who aren't designers, it's really, really cool to have great-looking templates, especially if they're easy to use. I mean, that's one of the things that Apple did so well with iDVD, for instance.
Right.
So, I've looked through the screenshots and everything. We haven't gotten copies of the new product yet, but I've looked through the screenshots that they're providing and the images that they're providing, and the templates look really good.
Yeah, and okay, just to give you an idea of how recently this came out, I just got a copy like a couple hours ago, so I haven't even had a chance to install it yet. But the screenshots that I've seen, yes, it's an easier to use interface.
Mm-hmm.
And they've added in new interface elements that make it easier to edit the objects that you work with in your designs. They added in a photo montage builder, so that's kind of cool. If, like, let's say you're creating a DVD movie that you're going to give out to everyone that came to your family reunion, you can take a bunch of the photos that you had taken at the event and let Disk Label create a montage out of all those photos, and then use that as part of your CD jacket cover or the label on the disc.
Oh, that's very cool. So this is aimed at, I guess, you know, everyone from, like, you know, small businesses who need to do an internal run of CDs, or people who want to make a mixtape for their, you know, mix CD for their friends, or, you know, people who are giving presents of CDs or DVDs that they've made for their family or friends.
Right. Right. And yeah, so they've made it a very versatile product that way. And they priced it appropriately so that it's easy for most anyone to get a hold of. It's $35.95.
Excellent.
And upgrades from earlier versions,
mm-hmm,
only $15.
Oh, very nice. That's good. Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, they're good people. They make great applications. And
they're good Mac people.
Yes, they're good Mac people, and they're lots of fun, too.
Mm-hmm. And they just announced their WWDC party, too.
They did. So if you're going to be at WWDC, you need to check that out.
You do. We don't have the power to get you invites, but the folks at Smile at My Mac probably do.
So go schmooze them.
Yeah, go schmooze them. All right, that's good. You know, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about from this week's news, and that's really just because it's such an easy target.
Okay.
Yeah, Microsoft.
I knew that's where you wanted to go.
They are so, you know, I mean, like, it's just so funny how they leave Apple. I mean, they put Apple in the driver's. Like, Apple is, like, you know, going along, minding its own business, doing its own thing, and then Microsoft pulls up and puts a car underneath Apple's butt and then puts a steering wheel on Apple's hands and says, "Please show us where to go." I mean, like, you know, just go back to, do you remember when, because I don't think we've ever mentioned this on the show, do you remember when Bill Gates was sitting there in an interview talking about, I think it was Windows XP, and he was talking about Movie Maker, and he said something to the effect of, "We have a really innovative product that we call Movie Maker, where people are going to be able to make movies right on their computer." It's just, you know, he's talking about Movie Maker, calling it an innovative product, and it's about 9 months after Apple has already released the first version of iMovie.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, seriously, dude, I mean, it's fine. It's fine that they did that. I mean, of course, if they see something that Apple's doing, they should do it. I mean, but claiming it as innovative? Anyway.
Well, okay. Well, in one sense, Bill Gates was absolutely right. And I have to point out that I love, love, love your Bill Gates impression.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. And so in one sense, he was right, because the idea of creating an application that makes it easy for the average person to get together all their content and build a movie is innovative. It just so happens that Apple did it.
Apple did the innovation. It's like right. Michael Dell claiming that Dell was the first company to support built-in Wi-Fi cards in laptops about a year after Apple had already done it.
That's Fred. I forgot about that.
Oh, man. I had a lot of fun with that one. So now we have Microsoft, like, you know, just like bouncing up and down on the balls of its feet, being the little brother. Because, you know, they know that the big brother is about to do something really cool in 2 weeks, and they want to make sure that they get some attention. So they pre-announce this thing, just, you know, months ahead of time, possibly killing what few sales of the Zoom they already get.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I guess that might not be much of an issue for him. Yeah. But I mean, it's just so little brotherish. It's so, you know, I'm screaming for attention because I know no one's going to really care when I do it.
You know, I don't take this as me going to Microsoft's defense, because I'm not. Okay. I'm just going to be stating a fact here. Microsoft is simply screwed on the announcement of Zune HD. It doesn't matter when they did it. They were screwed.
I disagree. If they announced it in the bloody fall, if they announced it in October or September, you know, shortly before it's going to be announced, or even when they ship it, they're going to get the kind of attention they need for the Christmas holidays season.
Well, not necessarily. If you take a look at when the Zune HD is most likely to be released, it will be in the fall sometime. We already know that, which means that it will probably happen around back to school time, giving them enough time to maybe get some school sales before going into the holiday season. That's also when Apple is most likely to be releasing new iPod models, because they tend to do an upgrade thing around that same time. So, So announcing in the fall means that they will be overshadowed by whatever products Apple is releasing then. If they announce now, well, everyone forgets about whatever it is that they're announcing by the time it comes out, or it gives everyone several months to lampoon the product.
True enough, and I'll actually try to come up with a good reason to do it now. They're basically announcing a product that is, you know, a little bit, or maybe a medium amount, behind the current iPod Touch, and, you know, Apple's about to update it. I don't know. I'm failing. I just can't find a good reason to announce it now, except for they somehow think that the attention they'll get ahead of WWDC outweighs the benefits of waiting. I mean, that's the only reason to have done it.
Clearly. And if
I think their reasoning is flawed.
I have to agree. Now, the only way it could potentially work in their favor is if Apple gets up on stage at WWDC and says, "We have redesigned the most incredible iPhone ever," and then they have Phil Schiller pull out of his pocket. You remember the old brick phone?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he holds up, and they're serious. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that would make this announcement overshadow the iPhone.
Well, Jeff, that raises a good point. You know, there have been rumors about Microsoft competing with the iPhone. The Zune HD competes with the iPod Touch,
right?
Right, not the iPhone.
I think that they wanted to compete a little bit with the iPhone. But I think it is squarely focused on the iPod Touch. But yeah, if they have people that are looking at saying, "Well, geez, maybe if I get an iPhone and I'll have all these features," but they already have a phone that's okay for them, this potentially could be a device that makes them say, "Well, I'll just keep whatever phone I already have and I'll get the Zune HD instead."
Right.
But I know that's a stretch.
What if this is actually the result of whatever it is that sparked the rumors of them working on an iPhone competitor?
It wouldn't surprise me.
That it was actually this device instead.
It wouldn't surprise me if that is the case.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, and the other interesting thing is going to be that Microsoft is going to be in a similar position as Palm, and that's in the targets of anything that Apple can determine violates their multitudinous and large patent portfolio governing gestures and touchscreen interfaces.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Oh, you know, speaking of interfaces, there's one place where the Zune announcement this week could work in Microsoft's favor, and that's if the new iPhone does not have an OLED display, and people that are really hot and bothered for OLED look at the iPhone and say, well, geez, Microsoft is beating them to market with OLED.
I like that. That could be what they're hoping to do. Because the OLED stuff, you say OLED, I say OLED, and then we can have some tomato sauce.
Yes,
it's a very cool technology.
It is cool, and I've seen the OLED displays in action, and holy frack, they rock! And then you have the power savings that go along with them. So it makes them very enticing for the iPhone. The trick is, can you get those in enough quantity and at a price point that works?
Right. Good questions all, for sure. I'm guessing, though, that no one's going to end up caring.
Yeah, I'm seeing the Zune HD as a product that when it comes out, people will be going, oh, really? They made that?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will have forgotten that Microsoft announced the product.
Yeah, well, they'll try to get more press for it when it finally ships.
Oh, sure,
they'll try.
You know, I as morbid as this sounds for me, I'd actually like to be able to get my hands a hold of one and see what it's really capable of. And
well, they'll send you one. Microsoft's PR department is awesome.
Yeah, that's true. You know, okay, here's something from behind the curtains from our side. Dealing with Microsoft's PR people is actually a dream.
Oh yeah, they're fracking awesome.
I wish that so many other companies out there followed Microsoft's model for PR. Yeah, there you go. I mean, there's some companies that I deal with on a regular basis that I just love it when I have to deal with their PR people. You know, Microsoft is a company Smile on My Mac too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Dell's PR department, also great. Just absolutely great.
Yep, HP. And, they have fantastic PR people.
And we're not talking about just the Mac Business Unit. I am a big fan of the Mac Business Unit. I do like Office for Mac. Or at the very least, I like Word and Excel. My belated rambling point being that we're not just talking about their PR people. We're talking about all the people at Microsoft. They'll bend over backwards for us, for anyone in the press, because they're really, really focused on the idea of communicating with the press.
Yeah.
Like Apple, just saying.
Yeah. You know, how funny is that? Microsoft makes products that we do bag on a regular basis, but they are right there jumping at our call to help us out anytime we need.
Developers.
Steve's off in the background somewhere.
Yes, he is.
The other Steve.
That's right.
The other Steve, actually. I guess the other Steve is Waz. The other Steve is going to have to be Mr. Ballmer.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right. Well, we will get our hands on one, and we will check it out. And I would actually be delighted if we were amazed and delighted.
Oh, that. Do you get how fantastic that would be if the Zune HD turned out to be just a killer product?
Oh yeah, it would kick Apple in the pants, and that would be great.
Oh yeah, I know I say this all the time. Competition is the best thing for us as consumers, and yes, Apple is making just killer products with the iPhone and the iPod Touch, but it wouldn't break my heart at all to see them have to step it up even more to make sure that the products stay competitive. Because in the end, we win.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And on that very happy note, why don't you take us out?
I think I can do that. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/tmobryan, B-R-Y-A-N. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. That's all for this week, except, of course, thanks to Smile on My Mac. You can find links to them and to Disc Label 6 in the show notes.
I love those guys. And, of course, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.